to true riches. And the case studies have been dealing with the truth about laying down this world's power, which is money, point blank. We've learned in so many times, in so many different scriptures we've learned on so many occasions dealing with from Book of Acts to Hezekiah to, geez, we saw it with evangelists teaching about not bowing down to the music, Elder Allison dealing with Judas and Mary there, the way that panned out. We saw with Mom teaching out of Hebrews 7. Javon was teaching on some of the fragments she got out of what Elder Allison and Evangelist Darrell had taught. And everything is pointing on how the results of laying down this world's power. God has been since ministering to us about the importance of making him Lord over our substance, which I will not get into tonight, but trust me, we're probably going to attack that on Sunday. And looking at the results of being the true riches, the anointing, the true riches, the real wealth, I'm talking about physical wealth and spiritual wealth, coming as a result of us laying down this mammon. In Acts, they did it. They did it. My goodness, they did it. They gave back what belonged to God. And that meant we believe the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the worlds, and they that dwell therein, then we would absolutely believe that what they did was give what belonged to God to God.
Amen.
It was already his. And they disconnected themselves from the power of mammon, the power of money, when they made Jesus Lord over it. And so we've been looking at all these different studies showing proof positive that before there's a great outpour of God's Spirit, before there's a great outpour of miracles, signs, and wonders, there's a test, or there's a people that step up and disconnect themselves and trust God completely with all that they have. And then he shows himself strong.
Amen, amen.
He shows himself with power. He shows himself with riches, amen, both spiritually and naturally. He shows another level of debt freedom, of healing, deliverance. My God, he shows himself as God, the God, yes, of the whole earth. All right, in Matthew 6 and 24, tonight's study is called From Mammon to True Riches, From Jacob to Israel. And it says in Matthew 6 and 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I love that. Plain. You cannot serve both. You can't have money in front. You can't serve them both. It's impossible. Jesus. But man, evangelist taught, and boy, we've been all over it. The music plays when it comes to you having some money, or it comes to money, there's a sound that comes with it. And we so often bow our knee to the sound of money. And we in essence, we hate the one. To hate doesn't just mean to despise, but it also means to love less. Sometimes we begin to love God less because we're holding on to money. And because we have some money in our life, we begin to kind of love God less because we feel secure with it. We all have heard that.
Yes.
It says that sometimes we'll hold to the one and despise the other. And to hold to means we adhere to it. There's that music playing. There's that sound. We adhere to it. We pay attention or heed. We care for, and the definition that we're looking at tonight is hold back. We hold back, right? And there is a holding back. God, he revealed to me, my goodness, I got no choice, I gotta say it. He revealed to me how much I truly hold back. All this week, I've been getting beat up by the Spirit of God. He revealed to me that I hold back. I give my first fruit, I give my tithe, which is great. It's wonderful, but I've been holding back the substance. That's a whole nother story. I'll just drop an Easter egg to you right quick. Just a little taste of what where God has taken us. But I've been really seeing that. And this story on Jacob is a man that held back. In chapter 27 of the book of Genesis, the deceiver and supplanter holds back Esau from his birthright and blessing. Watch this now. All right, we're going to read chapter 27. We're going to read through 28 a little bit, 29, maybe 30, 31. This, we're going to be all over the place till we get to the outpour. The mammon is promised to Esau in Genesis 27, 1 through 4. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. Or here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. This is Isaac talking. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, that thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, the word bless means it to cause adoration and benefit. So the benefit was meant for Esau. Make no mistake about it, people of God. We know God had a plan, and we know God turns things that are bad into making it good. But get this in your head early in this story. Jacob, though we see God blessing him, it was not his birthright. It wasn't. A lot of people teach this differently, but truly Jacob was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. He was a thief. He was a robber, straight up and down like 6 o'clock. Jacob was a mess. The blessing was meant for Esau, though God could deal better with Jacob, and we'll find out why later. All right. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen.
All right. So the blessing was meant for Esau. So the blessing, according to the custom, belonged to Esau, the eldest brother. Make no mistake. As I said, Jacob and Rebekah truly stole what was meant for Esau. And we're going to look at this real quick. Going back in Genesis here. Now we're going to pick up at verse number 5, 27, verse 5. And we're going to read down and just look at the deception. Watch the depth of this. And as you see the depth of Jacob's deception, remember, we're talking about a man that goes from Jacob to Israel, all right? And just hold fast, because both those have great meaning, all right? He goes from Jacob to Israel, and he makes a transition. We'll fast forward ahead, because he learns to lay down the very thing he desired so much, which was mammon. That's why he kept deceiving his brother, because Jacob really wanted to be blessed. He really wanted money. He wanted prestige and money. All right. So Genesis 27, verse 5 through 20, it says, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. This is Rebekah talking to Jacob. According to that which I command thee, go now to the flock, fetch me thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. So Rebekah's in on the scheme. She loved Jacob. They're both plotting and scheming. I can't tell you God was connected to their scheme, because there's a whole lot of lying that goes on, and God is not a man that he should lie. Somebody say amen if you understand.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So this is coming out of Jacob and Rebekah's deception. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Well, you are one, Jacob. and you were one rather, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, look at how she's down with him. Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her elder. Look at the deception. And took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said, now tell me God is in this. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. He's not even feeding the man venison. He's feeding him goat, that thy soul may bless thee. Man, he's taking advantage of an old man. That thy soul may bless me.
Wow.
And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou, listen to this mess, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Ooh, man. Don't tell me God was in this plan. Because God could have got the blessing to Jacob without all this mess going on.
Yes, that's the truth.
All right. So his name now, watch this now. The name Jacob, this is where it really intrigued me about Mammon and Jacob. The name Jacob means supplanter, which we know, deceiver, which we know, heel holder, because he was holding on to his brother's heel on the way out. He held on to his brother's heel as he was growing old too by trying to take everything he had. He was a heel holder, and it also means to hold back. Oh, look at the correlation.
Wow.
The name Jacob means to hold back. The word mammon means to hold back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Jacob, being the deceiver that he was, literally stole his brother's blessings and wealth. He stole what was at the time his birthright. Remember when Esau came back from hunting, he was hungry. And I believe Jacob was holding what theologians say was a bowl of lentil beans. And as he was holding it, his brother said, what will you have? What can I give you that you could give me, that I'm starving, I'm about to die? So Jacob held back his birthright and requested it, and Esau gave it to him. All right. So he was holding back from Esau. He didn't just hold back money per se. He held back his brothers from getting his money as being a supplanter, which means he was trying to supersede and replace him.
Wow.
So he was holding back not just money, but he was holding back Esau, his brother. Jacob was living up to his name. When we hold on to money, we become Jacobs in the spirit. When we won't give God what belongs to God, we become Jacobs. We're supposed to be functioning as Israel, but when we do that, we hold back what belongs to God. We're no different than what Jacob was doing. We're deceivers. I'm going to say it like it is. We're deceivers.
Wow.
Because we hold back what the mind of the Spirit is communicating.
Wow.
We all become Jacobs in the Spirit. But yet we want the power of God activated for us. Well, you're going to see what it took for Jacob to get the power of God activated for him. All right. So he made his brother sell him his birthright when he came home from hunting for a bowl of lentil beans. Esau promised his birthright to Jacob. All right. Point being, Jacob, the supplanter, was continuously trying to get what didn't belong to him. He had a love for mammon, people. He had a love for prosperity. and he was going to do anything that he had to do. He knew Esau was next in line to get it, but Jacob wanted it. All right, so now the blessing is pronounced over Jacob. Watch this. And Esau said, this is Genesis chapter 27, verse 24 through 30. And he said, art thou my very son, Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that poor old man, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see the smell. Look at the deception he's under. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field. Now he launches into the prophetic under his lie. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. All right, so now, in his deception, prophecy came because Isaac smelled Esau. The venison, or the two kids, the goat, blessed Isaac's soul. Then smelling his son literally triggered him into the prophetic to pronounce this blessing. This could not be retracted for anything because he moved into the prophetic. Oh, God help us. He moved into the prophetic, pronounced the blessing over him. Now watch this. We pick up in the story. Esau's anger would become Jacob's deliverance now. In Genesis 27, verse 31, it says, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, talking about Esau, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Jesus. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. Wow. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. You can't tell me God was in this. And said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Oh, it ain't stopping. It ain't going to stop. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, oh my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety. God doesn't move like that. And hath taken away thy blessing. And Jesus. He said, is not he rightly named Jacob? Listen to this. Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. He said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, listen to this. Behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. That's a testament for how powerful prophecy is. That's a testament for how powerful, Evangelist Benita, if you're on the line, how powerful declarations are. They will not be reversed. Prophetess Benita always says, the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord, and it cannot be changed.
Wow. Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. The story gets good now. We're seeing the deception. This is, again, the case study from Jacob to Israel. And we see what makes the transition of when he lays it down. Watch it now. So watch this. God has not yet honored the transition. Yet the word of the Lord is over him. But God says, now I got to intervene. I got to fix this so that it will match. It will be well with me that Jacob become the one that is blessed. All right, watch this here. It says here, and what shall I do now?
Wow.
Unto thee, my son. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling. Now he begins to prophesy. There's a little bit of gas left in the tank. Thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live. That doesn't sound that good. I'd rather live by the hand of God. But anyway, he's going to be blessed by his sword. He will live and shall serve. There it is. Here's the downside. And shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
Amen.
Amen, God.
Amen.
So now the yoke of Jacob is on the neck of Esau. But Jacob, see what happens here. Let me fast forward. The dominion that he ends up with is this. He ends up meeting up with his uncle, Ishmael. All right, I'm fast forwarding. And he starts to prosper. Esau begins to prosper with Ishmael. And as they're prospering, Esau becomes a great nation himself. And then Jacob hears about this, right? He hears about the prosperity of his brother and the greatness that he had. He had 400 men that were coming looking for him. So now the yoke of Jacob that's on Esau's neck breaks because of the dominion in which Esau comes into. And you'll see what happens here. And it all has a part to play here. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Watch this. They're at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So now Jacob now gets wind of Esau coming to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But now Jacob, Esau's anger becomes Jacob's deliverance in a mighty way. And here we go. Jacob first flees for his life. Genesis 27:42-44. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. So he's grabbing comfort because he knows he's about to knock his brother off. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. So now Jacob flees now. He's gone. All right, now we're going to fast forward. So now God begins to intervene and becomes Jacob's confidence. There's a changeover. All right, and he starts here. Watch where the change begins. Watch this now. And Jacob went out from Beersheba. This is Genesis 28, verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And at the top of it, it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it. I will give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families, hallelujah, that's you and I, all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God is intervening. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not, because you were a deceiver. You weren't connected with God at all. Wow. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Wow. Listen to his words. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it. Something you talked about, Elder Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And poured oil upon it. All right. And at the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, listen, that I go and I will and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Now he's saying, if God will do this, no longer will it be my deception. If you begin to do this, my God, this blesses me, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord, listen, Jacob, this is how deceiving, how he was in the place of deception. Then shall the Lord be my God. Bless he was you. Not following the God of Abraham and the God of his father, Isaac. Jacob was walking by the beat of mammon, by the sound of his own desire. But he said, if God will take over and intervene,
hallelujah.
If God will become this for me,
hallelujah.
Then the bless Lord you. Shall be my God. Listen, yes. Listen, it says here, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, watch this now, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Bless God.
He lays mammon down. He lays it down. No longer is he trying to live on his own, but he's saying, I'm going to give what belongs to him. I'm going to worship him with the unrighteous mammon. I'm going to lay down my tenth. There's an exchange of confidence that is beginning here. This is not the end. This is not the end of it. This is not end game at all. And concerning Jacob's turnover and becoming Israel. But this was the beginning of it. Where God begins to intervene for him. So the exchange of confidence began here. Jacob didn't say that he would give a tenth of all that he had. He said, I will give a tenth of all that thou shalt give me. There would come one more fight within himself prior to him living up to what he had said. All right. So now we note the Lord in chapter 29, 30 and 31 blesses Jacob immensely. All right. We fast forward. He gets blessed living with his mother's brother, Laban, and he gets blessed. Takes speckled animals. You know the story. Does things that God tells him. God begins to bless him immensely. So now God is multiplying him. All right, there's one more test that's still coming for the transition from Jacob to Israel. There's another money test coming. All right, in chapter 32, Esau, his brother, is now on his heels. He's now the heel grabber. Jacob has yet another encounter that would solidify his confidence being in God and not in mammon. Here we go, from Jacob to Israel, from one who holds back to the one that has power with God. Genesis 32, 9 through 30. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff, I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. Now, that's Esau right there, the yoke that's of Jacob coming off of Esau's neck, just as his father said.
Amen. Amen.
Lest he will come and smite me, and the mother of with the children, and the mother with the children, meaning killing me and all my mothers, all the mothers of my children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, so powerful, and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. Now the word present means offering. So now he's getting an offering ready. He says, get 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kin, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves. And he said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servants, Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner shalt thou speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he will see what he was doing was sending all these gifts in droves. So every time a new drove came in, they all were telling him and preparing him that this is your brother. This is coming from your brother, Jacob. So now Jacob now is releasing mammon. You have to understand, God gave him understanding of what to do. And God tested Jacob. This was God speaking or God ministering to Jacob on how to get himself delivered. It was about laying down the mammon that you so desired.
Bless God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Watch this now. Watch this. So it says here, it says, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept it of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, not talking about Jacob now, the man that wrestled with him, who Jacob said was God himself, saw that he did not prevail against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now, the word bless here means to bow in adoration. Until I can bow, Jacob was saying, until I can truly bow to you without this deceiver being on the inside of me, without the trickster being here, until I can be in full adoration of you, I will not let you go until you deliver me from being Jacob. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Jacob prevailed. Oh. You see, when he set the mammon forth, God said, I have true deliverance coming to the inside of you now, son. I see you're ready to release what you so desired. Now I'm going to release the man. Not only the man, but the outpour is going to be, I'm going to release the nation. You're no longer a man of deception, but your name now is Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed.
Oh, God bless you.
The outpour here, because he was willing to let go of the thing he desired so much to make things right
Bless you, Jesus.
God didn't just change his circumstance with Esau. Yeah. God changed the circumstance of a nation that would now know the power of God when they turned to him and they lived according to his way. They would have power with God.
Hallelujah.
That's the outpour of releasing unrighteous mammon. And Jacob asked him and said,
oh, God bless you.
He says, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face.
Jesus.
And my life is preserved.
Oh, Jacob.
Now, the end of the story is Jacob gets with his brother Esau. His brother Esau, and this makes me understand it so well. He gets with his brother Esau, and you can read on and you'll see it. And Esau sees his brother. The yoke of or the shroud of anger and hate and murder that was on Esau is lifted because of the offering that Jacob sent. And now I'm going to show you why I tell you it was God. When he got with Esau, Esau hugged his brother and they cried together. They cried, they were boo-hooing, and God just sealed it. And Esau looked at him, he said, why have you sent this to me? And Esau said, Jacob said, but when I saw your face, I saw the face of God. He said, I saw the face of God. He saw that he was delivered. And so Jacob, in essence, was sowing into what God said, right? And this is proof that Esau, that it was a God move. Esau said, I don't want any of it, Jacob. I don't need it. The Lord has already blessed me. And Jacob said, please take it. He said, no, brother, I don't need it. Keep that which is yours. Mm-mm-mm. So you know God was testing Jacob with the mammon.
Yeah.
Esau never needed it.
Jesus.
So now watch this now. So Jacob says, insists, he said, please. He said, the reason, please, because when I saw you, I saw God's face. I saw the face of God. He wanted to plant that off. And Esau said, I will take it then. I will take it. And so now this laying down of this thing he desired so much, laying it down and then wrestling, my God. And I heard this prophetically when I was studying this. Some of us wrestle with giving. Man, let God touch the hollow of your thigh. Let him touch the hollow of your thigh and stop wrestling with the fact, should you give or should you not give, or should you worship God with it or should you not? Man, let him touch. Man, come out of joint. Start leaning on him and stop wrestling him. Because God is trying to get something to you. He wants you to trust him with this mammon, with this money. He wants you to trust him again. If you read the case of when Jacob got the hollow of his thigh was out of joint, you realize the children of Israel made it a point never to eat the hollow of the thigh of any animal. They leave it there and the sinews on it. They eat nothing dealing with the hollow of the thigh. They will not, because they realize that it was the touch of the hollow of the thigh that caused Jacob to truly surrender and bring them into a place where they would have power with God. So they won't even eat the hollow of the thigh.
Wow.
Because they're in recognition to what really gave them position with God. It's in your Bible. It's right there. We need to stop wrestling. We need to stop wrestling. I tell you this, I know it says it, that Jacob wouldn't let him go until he got blessed. Jacob stopped wrestling, people, when he was determined to get delivered from Jacob. Though he was holding the man who Jacob says, I've seen God face to face. When he stopped wrestling, he stopped wrestling with who he was and started to lean on who God really is. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you need to hold on until you get that full deliverance, until God fully delivers you from thinking and trusting in money. Because that's exactly what he's doing for us. Why? Because there's a greater outpour that's on the way. There's a greater outpour of money and God's blessing of power. But before he puts it in your hands, he needs to know, are you Jacob or are you Israel? Do you want to have power with money, or would you rather have power with me? Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Hallelujah. The outpour, due to Jacob changing from a mammon-chasing, deceiving man, is the nation, the entire nation now would have power with God. Israel, in a sense, would come into their true destiny because of Jacob changing or being changed from the inside to the outside. Laying down, I'm telling you, there's such a freedom. There's such a freedom when you lay it down. I've laid down this week, and I can't wait to describe it to you on Sunday. I've laid down all week the substance. I used to be owner and lord of the substance, the first fruit and tithe I gave to God. But he showed us something. He said, honor the Lord with thy substance. That means my wealth. That means my lot. After I've worshiped God, I have substance. But he said, I want honor there too. In fact, he wants that more than anything. That I made him Lord over all that I have again, and I'm so free for it. I'm so free.
Hallelujah.
I'm so free.
Bless you, Jesus.
Oh, my God, I'm free.
Bless you, God. Bless you, God.
He gets more than my tenth. Everything I got is his again, and it feels so good. When I was a young gunslinger in the body and I didn't know better, God had everything of mine, and I didn't know where I was. Then times came, hardships came, life was happening. And I began to listen to the sound of the music. I would give God my first fruit, my tithe, but then it would be, yeah, he could get an offering out of me when he needed to. But there was still no real honor to him with my substance. But now that's changed.
Hmm.
And there's an outpour.
Bless God. An
outpour that's taken place. Two boy, boy. From Jacob to Israel. Yeah. From mammon to true riches. And in those true riches, I want to let you know, there's so much mammon, it's ridiculous. So much mammon. But the thing of it is, when you go from Jacob to Israel, he's Lord over that mammon. And it will never deceive you again. And with that, I am done.
Bless I'm God.
Finished.
Bless God. Amen, Lord.
I'm Amen. Done right there.